Put down your baby and pick up a beer. Dad Jokes is back with a brand new episode. I'm Jerry, joined here by Brandon, and you're listening to the podcast of two dads going through the journey of fatherhood while you all get to listen or laugh at us as we do it. So, Brandon, what has been going on, my friend? It's been kind of an eventful couple weeks for us. What's the word that you would use to describe the Banks household right now?
Survival of the sleepiest.
Well, I'm wearing a shirt that says sleep deprived, so I feel your, I feel your pain. It seems like that is a common theme if you talk to parents anywhere. Most conversations center around food, sleep, and bathroom stuff. Those are pretty much the three hot topics.
I'm gonna cut you off and disagree with you on that, because I have not been more annoyed than talking to new parents who aren't you, me, or maybe like one other person in our friend group. Every other person I know for like the last 6 months who's had a kid brags about, and let me not say brags, they answer my question. The one thing I'm asking is, how's the baby sleeping, yada, 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 because misery loves company. And they talk about how their kid sleeps for, oh, we got 6 hour stretches, 7 hour stretches.
Are you like, buying
what are you
it?
Doing?
Are you buying it, Brandon? Or you think that they're just telling you this because it sounds good?
I don't get the point. Like, wow. If anything, you get a little bit more sympathy if people know that you aren't sleeping well and your life has been impacted. But if you basically like, yep, I really don't even notice that the kid's there. I'm not going
to
feel bad for
you. But I've had people before, like I had someone recently, and they're like, oh, my baby's been great. And I'm like, man, I kind of felt the same way as you. And then they were like, yeah, he only gets up every couple hours. And I'm like, well, that ain't good. Like, that doesn't sound like good sleep to me. I mean, maybe
that's
normal.
That's
kind of
my
testimony. Yeah, it's like okay, like I'm not saying that's terrible, but I don't know that I would call that good. So I think sometimes it's perception or just, I don't know, people maybe trying to talk themselves into being all right. Or maybe some people are just luckier than us with kids that sleep better than our kids sleep, Brandon, because I didn't get good sleepers on either one of them. But yeah, anyways, before we get into kind of what else has been going on with you and with me, it's the Dad Jokes podcast because we love to tell some dad jokes. Brandon, do you want to go first or at the end of the show today?
I'll go first because I've been doing like some borderline adult dad jokes, and I got a classic dad joke. It's not, you can keep the kids in the car and turn the volume up if you want to.
All right, hit it.
So, Jerry, unfortunately, we've been working together for years, but not anymore. I just got a job making plastic Draculas, and there are only two of us on the production line, so I have to make every second count. Oh, man.
You know what I
thought
you
might like? I thought you might like that because they call you Count Dracula at work sometimes.
Well, I thought sometime. Of the Count from the Muppets. He drives me nuts.
The Count from Sesame Street?
Two, yeah.
One, two.
Yeah, exactly. Have you ever seen the
we should get Bryce
old school
that.
YouTube video where they like bleep out when he's counting? It's pretty funny. Make it seem like he's swearing all the time. It's pretty entertaining.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. Not as funny as my dad joke, though.
I guess. So, well, Brandon, what else has been going on in the Banks household as you guys are in survival mode, settling into life as parents of two?
So part of the survival mode, excuse me, is not because KJ is like a jerk or like overly cry. He's just like he eats a lot, like he's feeding a lot. And that has resulted in kind of what you said earlier is, every couple hours, he's still waking up to feed. And that's something that you set yourself up for before the baby. You feel decent about it for the first few weeks. But once you're at week seven of, and I'm saying this, I'm more or less speaking from Kelsey's perspective, because she gets the brunt of it. This go around, I know I mentioned it before, but with Bryce, he did not latch well. So she was constantly pumping, and eventually we went formula, probably like 6-ish months in, just because through all the pumping and so that her milk supply didn't stay where she wanted it to be. So This go around is completely opposite. And KJ can eat when he wants to eat, but that requires a lot more on her. So in the past where I could effectively say split a night with her, like my shift might end at 2:30, 3 o'clock. It's a lot more on her this go around. So, I still am slightly getting woken up, and we've kind of found a sweet spot where I'm at least on duty until 1 o'clock. I'm calling it on duty. It definitely has taken a little bit of toll on both of our psyche. Cause even in getting to like that 12:30, 1 o'clock range, it still takes me forever to fall asleep. And then by the time I fall asleep, normally waking up for work about 6:30, that's right around the time Jerry's been up for an hour and already gotten a Peloton session in.
That's right.
So you already got a limited amount of sleep you could get, even if you're able to get right to sleep and sleep straight. And then she's waking up to feed the baby every couple hours. So last night, knock on wood, worked pretty well. I actually held him to get him into a deeper sleep until about 1 o'clock. And then I put him in, and it bought her a little bit of time, or a little bit more extended time before he woke up, and he did pretty well. So let's hope that continues. Cause that was, last night was probably the best night of sleep that both of us have gotten together in a couple weeks. So actually I'm saying a couple weeks, a couple months. So hopefully that continues. Interestingly enough, we've had, and I didn't bring this up last time cause I wasn't quite sure where we're at yet. Obviously Kelsey goes back to work. It's not that far away in the grand scheme of things, but she still has, I think 6.5 weeks before she goes back to work. And that, we need KJ to be able to take a bottle effectively, even a pump milk bottle, because my parents are going to be watching him. And we have had a struggle with him taking bottles. So we've tried a few different things out. And just for those out there, a couple quick tips to mess around with. If your baby is breastfed, you have different options for like bottles that will potentially better simulate like mom's breasts or for the baby. The other thing to worry about is you almost don't want the bottle to be too great, for lack of a better way to put it, because you don't want them to prefer the bottle over mom, but you don't want them to not take the bottle either. So it's kind of finding a happy medium. Our biggest thing with KJ is and we see this with his breastfeeding, he's a lazy eater. Like he'll eat for 3 minutes in the middle of the night. So he'll wake up to feed and then he'll put himself to sleep basically right away. So it's keeping him awake. So we're still using Dr. Brown's. We went with Philips Avent. There's a couple other brands that we tried as well. But basically what we did is we added a bottle warmer. So some of you guys out there might be thinking that's basic. With Bryce, we did not, I never warmed up a bottle ever the entire time Bryce was, and he was on the bottle for a year and a half. And we gave him bottles cold literally every night, never an issue. KJ, the combination of warming up a bottle and also going up a size of the actual nipple that he's drinking out of, that keeps him awake a little bit more. So those are a couple suggestions that we saw out there. And it's just, I mean, you guys are obviously listening to this podcast, A, because hopefully we're slightly entertaining, but B, because we throw some ideas out there. It's all it is. It's troubleshooting. Like, you think of it like a computer that you don't know what's going on. Like, try stuff out. Some stuff may work, some stuff may not. But that seems to have worked for us, because he was straight up refusing the bottle. Like, you know how breast milk works. You don't want to waste any of it. Nope. So, I mean, he'd be leaving like a full ounce in there sometimes, and I'm trying to feed this kid through this bottle for like an hour and a half, and he's not taking anything. And the last thing I want Kelsey to do is wake up and see that we wasted a bottle, though she handled all that graciously. So last couple of things with KJ, he has actually been smiling a lot. I posted a couple things either as story or post to the podcast page, so check those out. But it seems like Kelsey especially can get him to smile kind of on command now, which is really cool. And then I had them both solo for the first time, which I know you had said you were waiting to see when that happened. It sounds almost crazy even mentioning, because I mean, we're dads, that's what we're supposed to do. But it definitely is something that you wonder how it's going to go with mm-hmm. mom not there that first time. But I thought it was important for Kelsey to get out of the house, be able to have some alone time. So she went out, and I had KJ with me, and we had a perfectly fine time. I've been wearing him way more than I did with Bryce. It's like a cheat code, because I know
it helps,
that'll buy me some time. Still, I should do like a baby wearing review. I'm saying I should. If you're listening out there, it's probably not coming, but we're just gonna act like it is. I should do a baby wearing review of like a guy with a gut wearing their kid. And some of the anxiety you get. Sometimes I feel like I'm like trying to suck my stomach in so I don't I don't suffocate the kid. Other times my stomach is helping me like keep him in the perfect position. So it's like a little give and take. But any fat dads out there, it's you know what I'm talking about. And then on the Bryce side, he is what I would affectionately call, I've heard this used before, a Sour Patch Kid lately. Like. Mm. Sweet, super sweet in the morning, super sweet right before bed. You get pockets of sweetness during the day, but for the most part, you can tell real quick what kind of day you're going to have with him. We are absolutely being terrorized in our own homes. I told Kelsey earlier today, I said we would not negotiate with terrorists. We would not give in. And because sometimes that's what it feels like right now. And we are trying different discipline methods. I'm almost done, but one quick little tidbit. I told you this at work, but so we have kind of pseudo been using timeout. I put this kid in timeout the other day, and he literally like stood up, which he's not supposed to do. He knows he's not. He stood up and looked at me. I said, "Bryce, sit down." Stood up again, looked at me. "Bryce, sit down." He stood up again. I looked at him. I put my hand on his shoulder, like looked at him sternly, said, "Do not get up. Do not get out of this seat. Sit down." And if you ever hear him, and later on he does stuff like he'll go sit on like the same stool that you got him on. He'll say, "Sit down," like he mocking you. But in this case, what he decided to do in his infinite wisdom is this is his chair, so it's like a little chair. So he stands up, but keeps his chair on his butt. So he lifts the chair up with him while he stands up and just looks at me and says, "Sit down." It's like, A, it's hilarious. Like, it is absolutely hilarious that he would even think to do that. So I'm trying to keep it together because it's a weird combination of being completely like pissed off and absolutely amused and thinking this is the most funny thing I've ever seen, which normally results in you just like twisting your face up and turning around so he don't see you, kind of giggle, and then going back to doing what you need to do. But he's definitely being defiant, and that's been fun. Last thing overall, last time we talked, we were visiting the Montessori and making a decision on what school we would go with. Montessori did not win out. We are going with kind of a more traditional preschool for Bryce, and we'll get into that a little bit later today because that's today's topic. So I told myself I didn't have a ton of updates, but I feel like I've been talking for like 10 minutes. What you guys been up to?
No, that's good. That's a lot of good stuff. And it's funny, Brandon, that because now you're experiencing it. Doing this podcast – It makes sense, but adding another kid adds a lot of what's been going on. Cause even if it's, you know, half the stuff for each, it's the, you know, same amount of time. So two kids can a lot can happen in a short amount of time. And we've had a lot happen. You know, I'll start with Avery today. And, for those of you who haven't listened before, Avery is my youngest. She is 10 months old, and Avery, crawled finally, Brandon. I showed you a video at work today. And she had been, she's
she was getting it,
baby. I think I've told you this before. I don't know if I've said it on the podcast. Our nickname that I came up with for her is, I call her my little tornado. She is a tornado. She's confined to where she's at, and she will destroy whatever is in front of her. but even the way she moved until now was like a tornado. She would get where she wanted to go, but it wasn't in a straight line. It wasn't conventional, but she somehow would like James Bond, Jason Bourne her way all over the floor to where she needed to get to. And she did some crazy moves, I swear. She does this move where she like rolls onto like one knee and like stands with like one leg stretched out and on one knee and like looks at you. And I'm like, I don't know what that move is. But anyway, she Spider-Man. Finally crawled, and she's crawling really well. It's funny. It's like she did it once and she's like, oh yeah, I could have done this for months, Dad. Cause now it's not like a few steps. She like crawled like far, you know, and like is doing it like it's nothing and bear planking in between. And doing like downward dog, she's doing like yoga moves in between crawling, but she's crawling. The good news is she has been sleeping, knock on wood, very well for her. But the trade-off is she has been no Sour Patch Kid, just Sour Kid during the day. She's in the middle of a leap. She's got some teeth coming in. She was sick. I don't know what you want to call it, a combination or whatever it is, but she has just been angry and trying our patience during the day. Very, very clingy, wants to be held. Even when she's held, she's upset. I mean, she's just kind of been a whiny kid lately. We had one really good day this past Sunday. We thought maybe we were over it, but not so much. You actually FaceTimed us tonight, and you could hear her in the background. That's just kind of how she is permanently now. She just likes to cry all the time during the day, but she's sleeping well, so I'll take it. You know, I guess there's worse things in life. But she's 10 months. This is kind of, you remember Brandon with Bryce, it seems like 10 months is when they start to like transition a little bit from just straight baby to, okay, they're starting to get to toddler. They're moving around better. They're saying a little bit more. They're able to communicate in different ways. So it's kind of, I'm getting excited for that. As soon as she stops being so cranky, I'll be really excited for that. But she's doing good. Peyton has been pretty good lately. She definitely has some of those terrible two stuff going on, but mostly she's been pretty good lately. We've been doing a little bit of potty training, not like fully committed, but trying to talk to her about that. She shows interest, but this kid, Brandon, she's like Bryce with the chair. She's smart, you know, and what mom started doing, because she would sometimes complain about sitting on the potty when she said she had to go poop, is mom would play a little video on her phone of Daniel Tiger and the potty training episode, and she liked it. So what she started doing, I noticed, is she would say, Dad, I have to go potty. But really what she wanted was to watch Daniel Tiger. And I'm like, you don't have to go potty. And so I was like, we'll watch it after you go.
I don't blame her.
And she'd be like, oh, I don't have to go. So yeah, clever kid, but not helping out with the potty training as much. So we just need to commit more on that. I don't really blame her so much, but she's definitely at the stage, Brandon, where she's like associating things and figuring things out that aren't like being taught to her. She's just taking them out of context, which is awesome to see. It's fun. She heard Shake It Off by Taylor Swift randomly, and now she's obsessed with the song, which is funny. So she'll ask Google to play Shake It Off, which is kind of funny.
I turned off every Google mic in my entire house.
Yeah, she loves it. She also,
we're done.
Yeah. She's funny when she yells at Google too. She's like, Google now, and everything's like she'll like say, Google do, Dad, Google do this, or like, Dad, Bluey on TV, like things like that, and everything's like to do something. Dad, socks on me. Like she wants to put the socks on me. I put socks on. That's how she like talks. It's funny, you know. But like weird things. Like the other day she kept calling things Max. And I'm like, why is she saying Max? And finally I figured it out. The horse from Tangled or Rapunzel, his name is Max. And she was calling other like horses Max. And I finally figured it out. And so like, I'm like, oh, that's Max. But again, like she just kind of started doing that. And I didn't even remember that the horse's name was Max. So that's kind of cool. Another thing is Macy took them to the zoo and she had them in the wagon. They did really well. And now when we go for wagon rides around our neighborhood, she always goes, Oh, go see animals. Dad, I want to see the animals. She thinks anytime we go in the wagon now, we're going to see the animals. And she gets very upset when she figures out there's not many animals in her neighborhood. So she go, where's the tigers? I'm like, I don't see them. She's like, oh, they're sleeping. It's like,
you got to collaborate like, yeah, with like the other parents and just have exhibits of animals out there.
Well, Maisie started like pointing out like birds and stuff. Like, look, hon, there's a bird. Like, she don't care about no dumb bird. But like, there's no animals. So, no, she's been really cool learning tons of stuff. The bad thing is yesterday I got home and she had 103 temp. And she still has a fever today, so that's never fun. I feel bad for her. I'm hoping it's just some virus thing. We give her a little bit of like Tylenol, and after that, she seems to do a little bit better. But the fever still got a break, so she's definitely not been herself. So the last couple of days have been a little rough with her, but it's definitely sickness related. And then the last thing, Brandon, I'll kind of go over is. One more story. So like another thing that she kind of associated with, she has like one of those kitchen sets and she like now will like be, she'll like fake cook food, like dinner. And she'll go, Dad, I made you dinner, or I'm making grandpa a burger or what, you know what I mean? She's like associated like cooking food, like we do for people and wants to do it. So that's super cute. But last thing is Avery, like I said, at 10 months now, she's starting to be able to get places and starting to be able to figure things out. She's starting to want to play with Peyton a little bit, and Peyton does not always appreciate that. So that has been fun. Today, Peyton was coloring on like a little table she has. Avery came over and started grabbing the pages and the crayons, and it was really funny because at first I'm like, oh, great, Peyton's going to freak out or like smack her or something. But instead she literally like stands up, runs over, grabs like the paper out of Avery's hand and is like, no, 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 no. And like talking to her like she's the parent. And then Avery just kept like looking at her like, what? And then she'd go grab something else. And then Peyton go back and be like, no, 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 no. And then grab the crayon from her. I was like trying not to laugh or like do too much. I just want to see how they would be. But it's just kind of funny starting to see them interact with each other. So that'll be interesting as they continue to get older. So that was fun. But overall, you know, good stuff. We just got to get Peyton feeling a little bit better and Avery out of the sleep, and we'll be doing great. But we can't complain too much.
Well, you're giving everybody the updates on how the last couple of weeks have been, but you didn't let them know where you're going to be tomorrow, front and center.
Oh, yeah.
Detroit, Michigan. We're
going to go down to the NFL draft tomorrow. So that will be a lot of fun. It'll be interesting, Brandon. The Lions obviously have a pick, but I have a bad feeling they're going to trade that pick, and I'm not going to even see them get to make a pick. But it'll be kind of cool. Obviously, I don't think the draft's ever been in Detroit, definitely not in our lifetime. So it'll be kind of a fun thing to get to see, and definitely crowded.
Yeah, make sure you shake a lot of hands while you're over there.
I'll get right on that. There should be a lot of people down there, so that should be exciting. But Brandon, speaking of exciting, do you have an exciting piece of baby gear for the folks at home?
I have an exciting practical piece of baby gear. And I went through my notes. I can't remember ever bringing this up, and I'm almost surprised that I haven't. But Bryce has been brushing his teeth pretty much since he had his first tooth. And one thing Kelsey bought early on that he absolutely loves is his electric Elmo toothbrush. It's from a company called Bright Brush, and it has a bunch of different settings. So it senses when the toothbrush is in the child's mouth and when you actually are not just in the mouth but brushing. And then it sings like a corresponding song, but it's like six different modes. So you can, and it's six different songs with it too. So as they go, Elmo's like keeping score. He'll tell the kid once they get to a certain point to switch sides. The toothbrush can tell when they switch sides, in theory. I found a way to cheat it. But it'll give you like a side change bonus. So this toothbrush is really cool. It's a good way to get your kids excited about brushing their teeth. And it's something that honestly can grow with Bryce. So we'll probably end up having a couple different iterations of this toothbrush as he really starts brushing his teeth on his own more and more.
My piece
and
of
it's 20 bucks
here, Brandon. The electric toothbrushes are great, first of all. Peyton's got an Elsa one. She loves it. It helps out. So, I mean, yeah, they think they're cool. And if you get your kid to brush their teeth, that's a win. But my piece of baby gear is also very practical, Brandon. And it's something that, like, it seems like common sense, but somehow, I don't know. As a parent, you need little things. And this is something that Macy did. And I kind of was like, whatever. But they've actually been great for us. So props up, you know, hats off to her on this. But a while back, Brandon, she came home and she came home with this package of, like, I'll call them, they looked like washcloths, but they weren't. And she's like, oh, these are like reusable cloths that you can throw in the dishwasher. And I'm like, okay, whatever. Like, it's paper towel or use a washcloth. But actually, they're much better. And basically what they are is, I think they're called Swedish dishcloths. And they're kind of like reusable. They're like thinner than what I would call a hand towel would be. Or like, you know, something that you would typically use. And they wipe down counters great. You can use spray with them. You can use just water with them. And, you know, they're really nice because they rinse out easy, but they can get stuff off of counters great. And then, like she said, you can just throw them in the dishwasher and clean them, and then they're good to use again. And we probably have like 5 of them, and I use them every night on the counters. I use them on the little baby tower. I use them on the baby seat that Avery sits in, and they actually help out a lot. They're not expensive. I think they're $10 on Amazon for a 10 pack. Actually, it's $12.99 for a 10 pack on Amazon. And they're called Swedish dishcloths. 4.6 is the ones on Amazon, the reviews. But they, like I said, they're better than, or cheaper than paper towels, using paper towels all the time, because paper towels are fine. You just got to use a zillion of them. And then better than like a dishcloth would be, or something that kind of gets stuff on it. And then you got to like wash it in the washer, or, you know, like wring it out constantly and it's got food still stuck on it. So I don't know. They, something practical. If you are constantly cleaning your counters like we are, 'cause I literally feel like I wipe down my island 17 times a day and it's still dirty. So anything that can help is a win. So those have been good for us, Brandon.
They actually look like big post-it notes with what I saw.
I don't know how to describe them. I'm probably doing a bad job describing them, but like, hey, trust me, if you need help cleaning the counters and stuff, it's worth it, especially if you got a dishwasher that runs like once a day like we do because of all the bottles and sippy cups. It's worth it. You get them cleaned, you don't got to think about it again, and then you use them again. So it's they've been good. When she bought them, I honestly thought it was a waste of money, but they weren't. So good job, Mason.
Those Swedes, super smart. Swedish dishcloth, Swedish meatballs, IKEA.
IKEA. Exactly. Gotta love them. Good hockey team, Henrik Zetterberg, yeah. Whatever it takes. But yeah, Brandon, let's get into today's episode. Today's episode is definitely relevant for us, but also for a lot of people. And that's kind of going to go into schooling and when to start looking at schooling, what different types of schooling there is, and kind of how to choose, those types of things. And when we're talking about schooling, we're more talking about before you get into like grade school. So preschool and beyond. And so, you know, kind of to start, you know, when can you start going to school? Basically, some schools start as young as like 2.5. If you're talking about actual schools, all the way up to obviously the kindergarten age, so 5 or so. They have things called early fives, those types of things. It just depends on kind of what you want for your kid. And all those things, you know, matter. Like, again, what do you want? Do you want them to go when they're 3, 4, 5 years old? Do you want to wait? But again, if your kid's 2.5, you're kind of in that range where it might start being time to at least talk about it, figure out what you want to do. Nowadays, what I've seen on my end, Brandon, is there's a lot of things out there for like 3-year-olds, 4-year-olds, and then like that early fives program. And they sometimes will differ. Sometimes are a couple days a week. Sometimes are half a days. It really kind of depends on what you want for your kid. But again, I know you guys are looking right now for Bryce. It doesn't have to be kind of like when I think we were growing up, it was like, maybe you did preschool or maybe you just went to kindergarten and the preschool was like 1 year. It wasn't like multiple years.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was for us growing up. My mom had to like find a school for me to go to that she also liked. So I actually started off at a school called Alpha Montessori. So I come from, I'm a product of the Montessori method to a degree. But as Jerry said, like, how do we figure out if our child's ready? Well, first of all, sometimes that decision isn't up to us. If you are, maybe you have a family member helping out and they can't help out anymore, or potentially circumstances change. One of you or your partner have to go back to work and you were the ones watching your child. I mean, situations can change. So we have to be ready, regardless. But if that's not the case, if you have the option, what are some things to pay attention to potentially know if, your child may be ready for that? And this isn't a one size fits all answer, but some things to look for, social development. Are they interested in playing with other kids? Can they potentially share just a little bit? Follow basic instructions. Now, some of this stuff, I would have said Bryce was really good at, like, a month ago. Some of it now, I'm like, yeah, maybe he's regressing a little bit, especially the following basic instructions. That's more or less when he feels like it. So that might be, it might be a good thing to get a different voice involved in that as well. Learning curiosity. Do they want to explore, ask questions, try new things? Those are signs as well. Independence. How can they, and can they handle separation? And I'm using these as like kind of broad, like, descriptors. I almost look at this as either way, a positive. So if maybe they have some separation anxiety issues, that it may be good to get them involved. If they don't have separation anxiety issues, then you probably don't have to worry about it as much and still obviously send them to school. One thing that was interesting with the Montessori that we visited, they have an entire process for how you drop your kids off. Parents at drop off, the rule is they do not go to the back with the kid. There is a line basically on the floor that parents don't go past. And you drop your kid off. They advise you to make it super quick. Do the same thing every time. One interesting thing, as we were getting a tour, that the instructor was telling us, she was like, first 2 weeks, most kids are just super excited. You may have a couple tears. Really, that happens like the second day. First day, it isn't as bad as you might think it is. It might be parents more than anything else. Second day is not great. I can guarantee that 90% of the new kids are going to cry, which is something to look forward to, I guess. That's going to suck. But it's like I don't even plan on getting to know your kid, the real version of your kid, until they're at least 2 weeks in. That's when they get comfortable, and then after they're here for 2 weeks, that's when we really start getting an idea who they are. So overall, those are ideas as far as when they're ready. Remember, if they tick a few of those boxes, a full day program isn't always necessary. You can do half days as well, and that's an option that we elected for the fall with Bryce.
Yeah, and so kind of, you know, those are things you can look at for your kids, but kind of like things related to you as the parent, or some questions that you might want to look at when deciding when to enroll them, or what kind of school you want to get them into. You know, one thing about your time in school and your spouse's time in school. What did you like? What did you not like? What was good? What was bad? Would you wish it was different? Identifying goals for your children. Like, what is your goal? Like you said, is your goal to socialize them more? Is your goal to have them learn some things because you feel like they're behind? You know, is your goal to, you know, discipline? Do you struggle with that? Is there certain things that you want to accomplish that will help you maybe choose what school to go to? And then, you know, as far as environments, what environment are you okay leaving your child in? Do you not want a certain amount of kids? Do you want them to be a bunch of kids? Do you want certain types of teachers or not other types of teachers? So, you know, the environment's super important. And then, you know, obviously I think it comes down to, once you do some research of schools online and talk to people about it, it's visiting the school itself, you know, like you guys did, going, seeing if you're comfortable there, seeing if your kid's comfortable there, talking to people, seeing how it makes you feel. Like, you guys went to the Montessori school near you. Kelsey didn't like it. She wasn't comfortable. I think that's a good thing. Like, she knew, like, this is not what I want. That's you want that, or you want the opposite, right? You don't want to kind of be like in between, like, I don't know. You'd rather know, like, yes or no. So visiting can definitely give you that. It's almost like visiting a college, right, Brandon? You knew it was for you or it wasn't for you. So definitely going to school can be key as well.
Yeah, and I think it's important from a parent perspective to identify from, I'd almost rank them. So what are, as dad, what's my top two goals? As mom, what's my top two goals? See where you guys are, and if you are agreeing. Our big thing with Bryce, especially considering that he has been with his grandparents and family members for the majority of his days, is more socialization with kids his age. Even more, we put more of an emphasis on that than learning right now. Obviously, we know that's going to come with the territory. But that's something that, and this is not to downplay the Montessori that we went to, but that was one of that was my main reason for Bryce going to school at this point. And that was something Kelsey reminded me of, because there were elements of the Montessori, and I'm a proponent of the Montessori method. It worked for me. It was funny, actually, as we're walking through the Montessori, I'm like, stuff is coming back to me that I hadn't remembered from a process standpoint in years and years and years. Like, but I absolutely remember kind of the groundwork that was laid. And from an education standpoint, I personally think that would have laid the right foundation for Bryce for probably 10 years from now, from an education standpoint. But part of that is you need to be in it for a couple years. It isn't like you jump in for one, in my opinion, this, you don't jump in for necessarily 1 year with that. They all kind of stack on each other. And I look at it more as a 2 or 3 year program, to get your kid ready. But one of the first things she mentioned is, where's the color? Like, there was a lot of like monochromatic, and this isn't all Montessori, just for record. If you're interested, like, check your own out. I remember a bunch of color in mine growing up, for what it's worth. But there wasn't a ton of like vibrant color. It didn't seem overly fun. I think like I was in there, I was eating it all up. They were speaking to me. Like, I was hook, line, and sinker. I would have signed on the dotted line probably on the spot. And it was more or less, I'm thinking about my child like 10 years from now, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. When I kind of lost sight from a process standpoint of what we talked about. It's, hey, right now we want him to have a pretty good time. It's half a day, learn a little bit, but get around other kids and like be developed socially. And at the end of the day, I loved the other school that we visited that we ultimately decided to go to. I loved it as well. So from a partner standpoint, if my wife isn't feeling one, I'm honestly, I feel like either is a good choice, even if I have a preference. It was a no brainer to me. But the main thing there was falling back on what we said we cared about in the beginning. And that's the social aspect, really setting something up where he can have a good time, learn a little bit. And we felt like that was better suited there, to kind of back up what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think, you know, like you said, I think you both got to be on the same page, and you both got to feel comfortable if you're leaving your kids somewhere. Brandon, one thing I came across in our research is, and I did not know almost any of these, so, you know, take it for what it's worth, but I guess there's 7 different popular types of preschool. So I'm going to go over those just briefly, do your own research, but just so you know, there's some different types of preschooling, because again, this isn't like state regulated or anything, like, to the fact that public schools or anything like that once you get into grade school. But the 7 different types, the first one's Montessori. You talked a little bit about that. But basically, teachers and group leaders gently guide student-driven learning activities in Montessori classrooms. It's more structure. Students choose which activities and speak to the interests of the kids individually. It's believed to promote independence, accountability, and a natural passion for education. The second one, and I'm going to say this wrong, it's called Reggio Emilia, which is like a holistic approach.
You said it right.
Okay, cool. And the school, student-driven style focuses on the freedom to express and explore ideas using movements, active listening, and hands-on activities. Collaborative classroom activities foster relationships with others and the world around them. Then there's the Waldorf method, which is a curriculum that lays the foundation of lifelong learning for the inquisitive child. Activities focus on building trust for the role of the educator with the use of mindfulness practice, artistic activities, and warm and healthy classroom environment. The next one's the HiScope. It bases its curriculum on a series of key development indicators to design and encourage classroom for an encouraging classroom for every student. These indicators guide teachers in choosing activities and projects appropriate for every age, and they help teachers understand and interpret young students' needs and questions to best guide their learning. So very much based on those indicators. Then there's the Bank Street, which was comes from New York. The curriculum takes the emotional and intellectual changes that occur at each age and incorporates these into how they approach every lesson. With interdisciplinary approach to all subjects, students learn to engage in education in an emotional and meaningful way. Parent co-ops is a group of like-minded parents, and basically the parents get together and they teach their styles kind of, you know, together as parents, and they kind of work in tandem usually with instructors as well. So parents are there along with teachers. And lastly, religious. A lot of times there are religious organizations that will do preschools and teach not only, obviously, lessons of education, but also some faith-based lessons as well, you know, with their children, which I think is one route that we might even look into. There's a church near us that my in-laws are heavily involved in that has a preschool that we've had friends go to and people that I know, and they speak very highly of it. It's very close to us. It's the one we're definitely gonna at least check out. So you know, it's funny too, because I think when people hear like religious, or you know, they think of like a Catholic school or something like that, it's a preschool. So it's not the same. It is in the church, but it's not that. It's not nuns with rulers or anything like that either. So you know, it is a little different. So, but those are seven, Brandon. I had heard of a few of those. I think maybe three. But the other ones I hadn't totally heard of, or if I had heard of, I didn't know they had a name. So, good research. It's interesting to read about for sure. You know, you can definitely do more research on your own if you want to learn more about any of those styles.
Yeah, I mean, this is what Jerry's going over is kind of where the legwork begins. So, and what you guys prioritize as parents will those factors will be most important. So along those similar lines, things that are important in my opinion are philosophy. So if I'm having a conversation with Kelsey, and we're choosing the next school, so based on what Jerry's saying, those are potentially seven different philosophies that you can do research on and decide if those are all available to you in your area. Sometimes you might be choosing between probably in your area, at least you have traditional preschool, a Montessori, and a religious one. I'd say those three are probably the most common. So figure out, based on what's available to you, what philosophy makes the most sense for you guys if you had preferences between the three. I would recommend looking for programs that are accredited. You can look for accreditations. I'm struggling with that word. In your specific state or nationally, but accreditations like the NAEYC, or National Association for the Education of Young Children, is probably the most popular one. And it basically holds these organizations to a specific set of standards that you know that they at least have to maintain those. So in addition to that, teacher-child ratio is huge. So how many... it's pretty straightforward, but that's the lower the better with that. It helps your child get more individual attention. How many kids per adult in the room and or teacher? And an adult versus teachers are two different things. The teacher, you may have two teachers and two teachers' assistants. And for a preschool setting, that's something that could work really well in a class of 30, if that's the size of the class as well. Environment, is it safe, clean, engaging, colorful? Are there diverse learning areas, indoors, outdoors? Like what options are you seeing there? And then finally, communication. Do they have a clear system for parent updates? You want an environment that's super open, especially if I'm talking about sending my 3-year-old to this place. Like, I want complete open lines of communication. I want to know what's going on in that classroom. I want to know if my kid's being a bully. I want to know if my kid's being bullied. I want to know it all. And I want that to – sometimes those conversations can be made to be awkward when they really just need to be direct, straightforward. You tell me how it is. I tell you what I think. We move on. But keeping the child first and foremost is what's most important. So those are all things in finding the perfect fit for you and your kid.
Yeah, and we're talking about a lot of, I call them really important things and things that are related to the child and the development, but some of the things we haven't mentioned, Brandon, are some of the practical things, and those also matter. You know, when are the classes, or when do the kids have to be there? When do the kids can be picked up? When can they be dropped off? How much does it cost? All those things are important too. Some classes or some preschools, you know, there are certain days of the week that don't work for you, maybe, or maybe they have to be there at a time you can't get your kid there, or picked up by a time you can't pick your kid up, or they're farther away, so it's difficult to get to. You know, some of them just might cost a lot. There's a practicality that you definitely need to pay attention to as well. Also, things, some of them require a kid to be potty trained. Some don't. Those matter. You know what I mean? Especially if your kid is or isn't. Some of them require you to bring a bunch of supplies or things to the school. Others require you to bring nothing. You know, those kind of matter. And then, you know, things like policies. What about when the kid's sick? You know, do they have something that you can do when the kid's sick or not sick? Or does that matter to you? Like, are they letting kids that are sick in and you don't want your kid around anyone that's sick? You know what I mean? All those things kind of matter. And like you mentioned one about communication with the parents. That's huge, too. So you want to look at things from a practicality standpoint, not just like, hey, this looks like a fun place. Hey, I think my kid would learn a lot here and have fun. Great. But if it doesn't work for you and your guys' kind of lifestyle, then that you got to check it off the list. So those are some of the questions. Personally, I would look at those first, because if those don't work, it doesn't matter what the school is like. If those work, then 100%. Okay, I'll dive into it. Do I like the school? But if those don't work, I don't want to fall in love with a place that I know can't work for us. So, you know, definitely want to check all those things out. Ages matter too. Like, what age does your kid have to be at a certain point in time? Like, one thing we're struggling with is Peyton was born at the end of November. So she's either going to, you know, have to wait until she's like 3.5, or we're going to have to find some place that'll let her start midway through a year. I don't know. Those are things that we're looking at right now, because not every school is the same on when they'll let you enroll and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, that was one thing that we had to potentially maneuver if we chose Montessori, because the earliest I could drop Bryce off is 8 o'clock, and I would be the primary. I'm the one who drops him off every day. As you know, with our schedule, an 8 o'clock drop-off on certain days, we have meetings at 8. That wouldn't. Now, sometimes I'm coming in at 8:02 anyway, but I definitely wouldn't get to work on time if I'm starting at 8 o'clock drop off every day anyway. So as Jerry mentioned, those are things that are super important. And then my last kind of thing to bring up is beyond preschool. Say this isn't the option that you're considering. You got nanny and in-home care. You have potential family child care and relative care that we brought up. But how do we get our kids ready for it? So what types of conversations am I having with Bryce in these months leading up? And the number one thing is potty training. No, I'm not going to stress out about that, because I think he's well on his way. But one thing that was interesting to me, the Montessori, like, poo-pooed to a degree the idea of him having to be potty trained. They said if he's not potty trained when he's here, we're confident. Like, they were going to potty train him. They start that process for non-potty trained kids.
I might go there tomorrow.
Hey, they will potty train her, and they acted like it's like they got it down to a science. At basically after 2 weeks in, they start the process. They make sure you're good with it as a parent, and she acted like it was not a problem at all. So that was something that was interesting. But if the place allows you to, in our area, it's a little weird because all these. It seems like a lot of the schools that you may want your kid to go to, if you have the choice, are like, we got super long waiting lists, or you got to jump through three different hoops to get in. But schedule a tour, let your child play in the space, meet the teacher if possible. We did all these things with both the schools we were considering. The Montessori, Bryce did not come with us. They requested he didn't. But the other school that we're going with, he did. He had a good time. He met who was going to be his teacher. Normalize it. So talk positively about school. Read books about starting preschool. Find Daniel Tiger episodes about not only potty training, but starting school. All these things create excitement, so they get ready to go. Practice the skills that you know that they're going to have. So when you're talking to the teacher, potentially ask them, hey, what happens every morning? Is there a few things that happen every morning at recess when you're leaving? You might practice them putting their coat on, opening their lunch container. Those little bits and pieces of independence can go a long way in them being confident when they're at school, and overall help their experience while they're there too. And then comfort items is my last thing. Familiar stuff in your blanket, that can really provide some security those first couple of days. Little pieces of home. Where if they are having, cause I mean, I don't know if this is normal. I don't plan on Bryce popping a pacifier there. So what is that symbolic, item or token that they can take from home and be comfortable, with them as well?
Yeah, Brandon. And the last thing I'll say is, you know, give it time, but if it is not right, don't be afraid to switch it up either. You know, you don't want to just force something to work that isn't working. You know, give it its due diligence, but, you know, monitor it as it's happening too, and don't be afraid to switch lanes if you absolutely have to. So, but anyways, that's a good place to stop on the topic, Brandon. You know, something that we're going to continue to go through. We'll fill you guys in as we do. If anyone has any questions on anything that we've researched or anything that you think that's important to share, definitely let us know. But Brandon, I think it's time for me to share a dad joke with you if you're ready. Are you ready for one?
It is. I'm waiting with bated breath.
Brandon, you know what I found out the other day? I didn't know this, but did you know that Sylvester Stallone was on his third marriage?
No, I didn't.
Well, I guess the first one was Rocky, and the second one was Rocky II.
I feel like I saw where that was going, but it still made me laugh a little bit. We'll give this round to you, Jerry.
Yeah, exactly. Ding ding. Yeah, I like it. But anyways, if this is your first time listening to us, we appreciate you. Thank you for listening. If you've been listening since the beginning, we appreciate you too. And if you have any questions or anything you want us to go over, definitely let us know. If you just want to give us a shout out or say hi, we want to hear from you as well. If you haven't liked us on all our social media pages, please do so. Please leave a review. We saw an influx of reviews for a minute, and they've kind of dried up. So leave us a review. We love reviews. but until next time,
you know
time,
Jerry
always,
love reviews.
I do love reviews. I'll talk about them in my baby gear every single week. So until next time, and we're a 5-star right now. Until next time, I'm Jerry, joined here by Brandon, and you've been listening to Dad Jokes.